I'm the dopest of the dopest. Hater, I know you know this. My style's still the freshest and mine is still the coldest. Don't you lose focus, the paper is still the gold. Not for $1 million will I sell my soul. Back against the wall, but I'm in love with the pressure.
3, 2, 1, and we're live. 3&D, Signs in Sports Podcast.
What's going on, guys? Excuse me. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the 3&D Signs in Sports Podcast, the Mia Made It series. We are back after a long and unfortunate and unexpected break. What was the last thing that we're supposed to talk about when we came in here, recorded an hour and a half podcast and had technical difficulties and unfortunately missed our deadline and missed a show? And we apologize, guys. What were we covering?
I think we were covering Clash in Paris.
It was Clash in Paris, right?
Yes.
Guys, we apologize first and foremost before we do anything, before we get started with anything, before we even promote anything. We are sorry for missing our deadline, missing a show, and not bringing the Clash in Paris preview episode to you here on the Mia Made It series of the 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast. That was 100% on us. That was a mistake in scheduling for us, as everybody knows and as we've talked about multiple times and probably 1,000 times already on this episode since you started school again. Since you've started with your sports and, you know, stuff of that nature, things have just been a lot harder to schedule. Mia, you've been busy. I've been busy. We've both been busy. But, you know, that does not make up, or that is not a reasonable excuse for us not to, you know, be here on the podcast and talk to the people that are waiting to hear about the WWE premium live events. And, you know, again, that's on us. We apologize. Mia, you want to say anything before we get started?
Yeah, guys. We were supposed to film or record for, I think, the day before Clash in Paris, but I had a home game to attend, and we had something else that day, I think, or the day after. So we had a lot going on, guys.
I got out of work real late, too, that day. I think I ended up getting out at, like, 9:30 in the morning. We were supposed to record at 11. I fell asleep. Didn't wake up until 1 o'clock, I think. As everybody knows, I work overnight, so it's a lot more difficult. it takes a lot of getting used to. But, yeah, you know, unfortunately, we did miss our episode, and we apologize. We owe you guys a bonus episode at some point.
We have functions to attend, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we owe you guys a bonus episode, and most likely we're either going to do the draft episode where Mia and I are going to mock draft from the WWE roster as general managers of Raw or SmackDown, each of us respectively. And before we get into talking about WWE's Wrestlepalooza in Indianapolis, Saturday, September 20th on ESPN, unfortunately for a lot of people, including myself, but I'll get into that rant here in a little bit. Guys, follow the podcast at 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast on Spotify. This is the Mia Made It series. Follow the Facebook page for the podcast at 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast. Follow myself at Design Individually Gifted on Facebook as well. You can follow Mia on Facebook at Mia Made It. And also follow me on Spotify at DIG. But, yeah, so we're talking about Wrestlepalooza. We're talking about Wrestlepalooza today, live from Indianapolis. We are currently watching the pre-show as it's happening right here in the studio. 5 matches to talk about today. We got 5 matches. Go ahead and set up your chair if you need to. Fix it if you need also.
I think I'm good.
I don't know if you're kind of in an awkward position.
No, you're good.
Yeah. Okay. Guys, as we said, we're talking about Wrestlepalooza, Indianapolis, streaming exclusively on ESPN and on Netflix internationally. So before we even get into anything, rest in peace to Netflix. I mean, to Peacock's. To Peacock, I'm sorry. Rest in peace to the Peacock contract with the WWE. I'm not happy about it.
Wait, it's so where are we watching it?
On ESPN, unfortunately.
I wasn't even aware of this, guys. What the heck?
Yeah. Peacock's contract deal with the WWE to host their premium live events is officially dead. It's officially come to an end. And the new home for WWE premium live events is now ESPN. And not only ESPN the channel, but ESPN the app. And I'm so disappointed. I am not happy. I loved the format, the structure, the platform when WWE was on Peacock. It was easy for the consumer. It was easy for the fan. It was $17.99 a month for Peacock, and you got every single premium live event for free. You know, I don't know how much is. Do me a favor, Mia, if your phone is holding juice right now, look up how much it is for ESPN to pay for the subscription monthly. Guys, if I'm not mistaken, it doubled in price. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to say. Monthly? Yeah. I'm just going to say it here on the podcast. ESPN Plus is one of the worst apps. What is it?
It's a standard monthly subscription to the new standalone ESPN streaming service cost around $30.
Guys.
Which is, oh my gosh.
It's not necessarily doubled in price, but it is $10, $12, $13 more expensive. Again, it's just a slow
send it to me.
It's just a slow kind of trek into paying more for what it is that we love, and it is the WWE and watching the premium live events. Again, I think ESPN Plus is a very, I have it, my brother has it for college football. We watch college baseball on it. We had so many problems during the college baseball season when it came to using ESPN Plus. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's our rural area, being here in Fowl, Texas, and, you know, maybe our Wi-Fi doesn't work so much as good as it would in bigger cities. I don't know. I don't know what the case is, but I do know that we had so many problems, and I have never had as many problems with the streaming platform as we have with ESPN Plus, as compared to Hulu, as compared to Peacock, as compared to even Netflix, which is a brand new live streaming platform where you can actually catch live events. I'll bring my rant to a short end, but I'm not happy about it. The WWE, unfortunately, is making a lot of decisions that I'm not personally happy with at the moment. But if eventually and inevitably, we will get into those decisions, and might have a lot of people upset at me in particular for things that are going to be said when it comes to some of the decisions that are being made. But hey, you know, I don't run the WWE. What do I know? You know, but AEW is looking pretty nice right now.
Whoa.
I'm not going to lie. Did I hear that Adam Edge Copeland is fighting tonight? You know, I might, you know, Mercedes Moné is, you know, holding 10 belts at the moment. I don't know. AEW's looking pretty. It's looking pretty.
Adam Edge.
Pretty interesting. But no, I'm just kidding, guys. At the end of the day, nobody wants to pay more to watch, you know, the events that we all know and love. Even if it is $12 more, I don't care, bro. Y'all can sit here and y'all can say, oh, just pay it. You're going to watch it anyways. Yeah, I am. Because guess what? It's our job. And at the end of the day, we have to watch it. I mean, technically, we could get on here and just talk about it without watching it. But what's the fun in that?
True.
You know, so we're not going to do that. Did you get the graphic?
Yes, I did.
Okay, go ahead and pull it up, Mia. And I could rant for 15 more minutes. Should I?
We can rant about how Pat McAfee's supposed to come back, and I haven't seen him once.
That's Mia's polite way of saying no. So, no, I'm not, but I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. RIP Peacock. I was gonna make a joke, but I'm not gonna do it. RIP Peacock. We'll miss you. I think Peacock's one of the best streaming platforms out right now. And you know, whenever there's an extra $150 million to be made, you know, they're gonna take it. So that's what the WWE is. They're a business. They're gonna take their opportunities to make money, and can't judge them. Even though I will. But at the end of the day, you can't. So they're going to make their money. Guys, rant over completely, officially. Okay, so we got 47 and a half minutes until WrestlePalooza starts. As I said, we have the pre-show live here in the studio. I am here with my partner in crime, with my co-host, and with the owner of this Mia Made It series. Mia Made It. Everybody say what's up. Mia, say what's up to everybody.
What's up, everybody? I'm so glad that we're finally back. I'm sorry, guys, for going missing, guys. Sorry.
And, you know, so we're very open on this podcast, so I'll go ahead and tell you guys what happened. It was a very, very, it was a mistake that shouldn't have never been made.
It wasn't my fault, guys.
But unfortunately, it happens, you know? It happens when you're dealing with a technically... A technologically produced show. There's four mic outputs. Mine is microphone number one. Mia's is microphone number two. And for some reason, they're duplicated. There's two microphone number ones, two microphone number twos. For some reason, call it my fatigue from work, because I'm a hardworking man. You know, gotta pay the bills. I used two microphone number one slots. We recorded an entire hour and a half of a show for Clash in Paris, which I was extremely excited about. Enjoyed the premium live event very much. Paris crowds are always insane. Always right. Insane. I genuinely, if they were going to go anywhere for a WrestleMania, how you're not going back to Paris is beyond me, but I'm not going to rant again.
How you're going to Saudi and not Paris is crazy.
I'm not
going to
do it again. I'm not going to do it again, but I am. We'll get to that. We'll get to that on another show. You know, again, guys, you're not going to find a lot of U.S. WWE fans that are going to be happy about WrestleMania going anywhere. But if you're going to go anywhere, you know, France, Paris was a pretty good option that was staring you right in the face. You know, among some others that are as well. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're 15 minutes into the podcast. Let's get into the show. And let's talk about things that actually matter for today, outside of my grievances. Is your phone being charged?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So, Mia, we got five matches to talk about. Go ahead and let everybody know what matches we can expect to see tonight and what matches are going to be on the card for WrestlePalooza live from Indiana.
Okay, so the five match cards that we have for today are, first up, starting with the match that is to open the show tonight, is Brock Lesnar versus John Cena. Then we have Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker versus the Usos, Jimmy and Jey Uso. Then we have, hold up, my phone glitched. Then we have Io Sky versus Stephanie.
Technology, guys, I'm telling y'all.
Stephanie
Vakir.
To crown the new Women's World Heavyweight Champion. Then we have Cody Rhodes versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE Women's... Championship. Sorry, guys.
Whoa.
Then we have what's rumored to be our main event. Is Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, the two GOATs, versus the best in the world, CM Punk, and the returning AJ Lee.
Wow. First and foremost, isn't that crazy to know that this is rumored to be the main event over a WWE Championship title match between Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre?
Insane.
That kind of just shows the star power between the four athletes that are going to be participating in this match: Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch, CM Punk, and AJ Lee. Before we get into the first matchup, real quick, after a decade-long absence from the WWE, officially and finally, Mia, you were right all along. AJ Lee is back in the WWE. Everybody give it up for AJ Lee. She made it back. She is back finally. AJ Lee is back in the WWE like she never left. I have enjoyed the promos. I've actually been watching them. Did it fire me up so much watching Becky Lynch smack CM Punk in the face over and over and over again. It was kind of a sign that she was ultimately gonna come back, right? It was either that or CM Punk was gonna channel his inner Randy Orton and put Becky to sleep. But AJ Lee is back. Mia, go ahead and let us know how you feel and tell us, you've been waiting for this. You've been making yourself look crazy over, who knows how long, probably the last year at this point, waiting for AJ Lee to come back. She is finally back. She is stepping back into a WWE ring for the first time in a decade. How do you feel, and are you excited?
I think I haven't been this excited with WWE for a really, really long time. I cried so much when she came back. That night, I was supposed to watch it. I was going to have it playing when I was at the game, but I had some personal things going on. I wasn't able to watch, but I was on my phone and I saw my wrestling group chat started buzzing like crazy, and I was like, oh my gosh, like there's no way. I thought it was gonna be Rhea. I thought they were just gonna mess with us and it was gonna end up being Rhea, but
or Bailey.
And a good friend of mine, he sent a video and it had her coming out, and I just like bursted out into tears in front of all these random people. Like, it was so it was so bad. I'm so glad she's finally back. I don't look crazy anymore. It's great to be able to put the clown nose up and finally put it up where I don't have to be making myself look delusional every single podcast. But I'm so glad that she's back, and she's gonna do so good tonight. She looks so good. Like, oh my gosh, I love her so much. I can cry right now.
AJ Lee is officially back in the WWE alongside her husband, CM Punk, Phil Brooks. AJ Mendez Brooks is officially back. What a match, though. I don't think I've ever been excited for a mixed gender tag team match ever, to be honest. This is the one that has me. But little do you know, and surprisingly, only the second match that I'm excited about, or coming second on the list of matches that I am excited about. Number one being Stephanie Vaquer and Io Sky. That one I am extremely excited about. Put the belt on Stephanie Vaquer.
Please.
I don't need to say anything else. I love Io Sky. Everybody on here knows how much I love Io Sky. But put the belt on Stephanie Vaquer. All right, guys. Let's get
into it. We're not on that match yet.
Mia, matches that you're excited about, what are you excited to see tonight?
Obviously, I'm excited to see AJ Lee and CM Punk versus Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch for obvious reasons, guys. Y'all know me. My two favorite wrestlers of all time versus two wrestlers I adore with everything in my heart. AJ Lee coming back is actually, like, it's still mind-blowing because a part of me believed that it wasn't going to happen because, like, people were so, confident that she was going to come back at the Royal Rumble just for her not to come back for, like, the past two. So it kind of just, like, killed my hope. And I was preparing myself. I was like, it's just going to end up being Rhea. They're teasing it to be Rhea. And I'm so excited to see AJ Lee get back in the ring because I know she's going to cook tonight. But another match that I think has my attention is also Io versus Stephanie. Stephanie has become one of my favorite wrestlers recently. I just love everything about her. She's from her gear to her moveset to, like, everything.
Her absolute aura.
Her aura is crazy. Like,
she don't even need to speak. All she has to do is walk down that ramp, and her aura is unmatched. I think it's up there with the likes of Rhea Ripley.
Her aura is strong.
And she's only been there. We'll get to it, guys. We're going to get to it. First match and the third match that I am excited about, John Cena versus Brock Lesnar. In my opinion, there's only a couple matches on this card that we don't know where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. This one isn't one of them. I think John Cena is going to put on a performance like we haven't seen since the Cody Rhodes John Cena match.
That match was so scary.
So guys, let's get into John Cena versus Brock Lesnar. Assumed and expected opening to WrestlePalooza live from Indiana. Brock Lesnar versus John Cena. Would you like to go first, or do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. Like I said, I think we're going to see a match from John Cena that gives us reminiscent of old John Cena, or should I say young John Cena. I don't think they've put him against anybody that is going to physically test him the way Brock Lesnar is going to test him. And I know this match is going to go one of two ways. Mm-hmm. It's either going to be an absolute classic or it's going to be an absolute squash. And I don't know that they're going to have John Cena lose this match. But anytime Brock Lesnar is in a WWE ring, there is the chance, even if it's 25%, but I would likely say 50% chance that it's going to be a squash and he's going to absolutely destroy whoever it is that he is in the ring with. Do I know who's going to win? Obviously not. Mm-hmm. Do I know who I want to win? I don't even think so. Do I know who I expect to win? Yeah. I think I expect John Cena to win. I think I have a feeling that they're not gonna do John dirty like that by having him lose to Brock Lesnar. But then again, you brought Brock Lesnar back for probably a lot of money. And is that
John Cena wanted him back?
And that makes it even more epic for John and Brock to be going one-on-one simply because John Cena wanted Brock Lesnar back. Makes it even more epic because John Cena, at this point, he doesn't have a lot of matches left mm-hmm. on his contract and for the amount of appearances that he has left. And he handpicked, I want to face Brock Lesnar. So that means this match is going to be a classic, in my opinion. And I'm going John Cena because I don't see. I think Brock Lesnar's there to put John Cena over in his final few appearances.
I do have a question that's kind of involved with John Cena's final matches. If you could choose somebody to fight John Cena for the last time, even if they're not in WWE anymore, even if they're not involved in wrestling anymore, who would you bring back to face John Cena?
Oof, that's a good question. Not one that I've even thought about.
Because I think about it all the time. I want them to bring Edge back so bad because I want Edge and John Cena to fight so bad.
That would be, I think that would be the absolute perfect way to send John Cena off in his last match.
Please. Oh my gosh, I love Edge so much.
That would be the perfect way to send John Cena off into the sunset with Adam Edge Copeland.
Last guys.
I was going to say Randy.
Would that be your last?
No.
But like, it doesn't have to be like his last match. It just has to be like someone you want to see.
It would be
fight
a part of it, yeah.
Yet.
It would be a part of it, yes. But him losing the championship, I think they kind of already did away with the idea that I had when it came to him fighting Randy Orton. I would have wanted to see Randy Orton take the belt off of John.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
And then Cody Rhodes come along and take the belt off of Randy. You know, but I didn't think about that. Edge, bringing Edge back to fight John Cena in one of his last appearances on WWE would be, it would bring the house down in so many ways.
I'm not the only one that's really thinking about that, because I think Triple H, he had like posted like one of his dark and ominous like posts on X. And it was like, I think it was after AJ Lee came back. And he posts, like, you can always come back home or something. And people were like, what if this is for, like, somebody that John Cena is going to fight? And, guys, please just bring Edge back, even if it's just for that one match, and he can go back to AEW.
I know who they need to bring back for his last match. Who? Sasha Banks.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding.
I just miss Sasha.
Please come back. You know, you already did all you had to do.
She's going to call you out on Instagram. She's be like, this guy, stop harassing me.
Please call me out. Please call me out and, you know, give us a reason to, give me a reason to love you more. But Mercedes Moné, I look forward to the, and she's constantly said that she's never coming back. So I don't know. Let's not get into a Sasha Banks, you know, conversation, because we'll be here for the next 20 minutes talking about it. But who do you think's gonna win? Who do you want to win? And what do you think's gonna happen between John Cena and Brock Lesnar?
Honestly, I'm shocked. I'm so shocked that Brock Lesnar is back. That's my one thing, because I
that was actually big.
That was crazy.
That was an actual big return.
I know everybody hated it. Everybody was like,
I loved it.
Send him away. Because, you know, personal,
of course,
reasons. And character-wise, because I like to separate their wrestling characters from their real-life choices and opinions. And character-wise, I'm so excited to have him back. Because I believe when I first started watching wrestling, Brock Lesnar was one of my favorite wrestlers. I did enjoy seeing Brock Lesnar until he beat up Cody and I started crying and I never liked him again. But I'm so excited for this match. I hope that John Cena wins just to keep him on that. Because he's only lost to Cody, right?
Just to Cody, yep.
I hope he wins just to keep that.
And to Sami Zayn in a United States Championship match, yeah.
That's so random. We don't count that.
Well, actually, he didn't lose because Brock came out. Ended up coming in. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think, I hope it's not a flop match. I hope and pray that it is a match that's going to keep me on my toes. Would I like Brock Lesnar to win? Yes. I think it would be pretty... pretty...
heelish of him.
Yeah. But will Brock Lesnar still be around after John Cena, the John Cena fight? Is my only thing.
That's a good question.
Because if John Cena doesn't... if John Cena loses and Brock Lesnar leaves, then there's no point for Brock Lesnar to win the match. So I'm going to go with John Cena. Stay with John Cena. I would like for Brock Lesnar to win, though.
The next match, guys, that we're going to talk about is we have a tag team match, a straight-up tag team match between the Usos coming back together. And the other two members of the Vision, Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker. This one, I think, is one of the matches that we don't really know which way it's going to go. If I'm not mistaken, when Roman and Jay fought against Braun and Bronson, I completely thought that the Vision was going to be there to put them over. They ended up winning. You know, so this is one of those matches that I no longer know what they're doing with the Vision. I no longer know what, you know, anymore. When they're going to win, when they're not going to win. Shout out to Seth because they're making it work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that faction, for as much heat as it got at the beginning and as much up and down, shout out Tyrese Halliburton on the pre-show. As I said, guys, we are watching the WrestlePalooza countdown in the studio live from Indianapolis. Where's Pat McAfee? Hashtag yo, where's Pat?
That's my basketball husband, guys.
Hashtag where is Pat? And hashtag Tyrese is Mia's basketball husband. But yeah, I don't know where this match is going to go, so you can go ahead and go first, and what do you think is going to happen?
I think my answer is easy. I think the Usos are going to win. I think just because I'm excited that we have the Usos back. It's their first match back together since, you know, all the betrayal and drama went down. I'm so excited to see how they're going to work together now, especially now that they're two different people from who they used to be when I first started watching. I don't think the Vision stands a chance, because usually the Vision's my group, because, you know, I love Seth and I love Bron Breakker. But like you said, I don't know when they're gonna win. I don't know what's gonna help them win. I don't really think they have like their story right now, other than the whole Becky and Seth thing. So I'm going to go with the Usos since it's their first time back.
I want to say the Usos because they are the greatest tag team of all time. Equal or better than the Hardy Brothers.
Ooh.
But then again, at the same
time, mad with that one.
Then again, at the same time, they are brothers. They're twins at that. And they are the most accomplished. They are the most decorated tag team of all time. And look at the longevity that they've been doing it with. You know, how long they've been in the WWE and how long they've been one of the top tag teams in the WWE as well. I don't want to go with the Usos just for the fact that you did already.
I'll go for the Vision if you want to go for the Usos.
Yeah, let's do that because Jey Uso's my guy. You know,
Jimmy Uso's my guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know why Darren likes to be the opposite of me. I don't know what's happening.
It's for show purposes. So everybody that's listening will get to see. They're gonna side with one of us. They're gonna side with one of us. They're gonna say either DIG was right or Mia Made It was right, and one of the two. You know, they're going to get to latch on to the same characters. I mean, to one of the two characters. But it's never fun when we agree throughout the entire match card. But
usually we agree. But
usually we do agree. Usually we are pretty in unison as to who we think's going to win. And we have one or two, three at the most matches that we think are going to go separate ways. This seems like one that we're going to agree pretty much throughout the entire match card.
Unless it gets to our last match that we're talking to.
Simply the last match might be the one that maybe we disagree on. But we'll get there once we get there. Bron Breakker is so dominant.
I love Bron Breakker.
They've done such a good job with Bronson Reed as of late as well.
Bron Breakker is so goated, guys.
But like you said, what is the story behind? I mean, I guess the story as a whole is the Vision. Like, the fact that they're, you know, a part of that group, like, that just gives them a story as to why they're going to win, you know? But the Usos coming back together for the first time kind of makes you think that, how would you lose? You know, greatest tag team of all time. And I can't even say that Bron Breakker would have to carry this match on his own either, because I do think that Bronson Reed is starting to kind of grow into his own as a powerhouse for that tag team. I'm going to go with the Vision.
You're going to go with the Vision?
I'm going to go with the Vision, because only because I think Bron Breakker is an absolute monster.
Mm-hmm.
Any match that Bron Breakker is in, we've compared him to Brock Lesnar before.
I've compared him to Roman Reigns.
You've obviously compared him to being the next Roman Reigns, but even before comparing him to in the future what he would be coming into the WWE, nobody matched his physicality, especially at the time. Nobody matched his veracity. Nobody matched his, the sheer just violence that this man possessed inside of him. It was most comparable to Brock Lesnar, and I heard that comparison a lot, especially, you know, leading up to him coming to the main roster, even while he was in NXT. You know, even the entrance was eerily similar to Brock Lesnar, you know, with the way he walked out. But again, anytime that Bron Breakker is in a match, it's hard to go against him.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the Usos losing and putting over the Vision even further. I will tell you this, though. If the Vision does win this match, that's going to say a lot about what they think about that faction.
I do agree.
If they bring the Usos back to fight Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed and the Vision wins, I think it's going to say a lot about what they have in mind, how they see the Vision, and where they plan on going with them, and that they don't plan on stopping with them for a little while. I'm going to go with the Vision. I'm going to go with Bron Breakker. And again, I think for me, the deciding factor is Bronson Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the work that they've done with him over... The work he did with Roman Reigns was impressive.
Yeah.
Let's just put that out there.
Having him fight Roman Reigns is impressive.
That did a lot for him.
Mm-hmm.
That did a lot for him. Having him on that spotlight, what was it, at Clash in Paris?
Yes.
When they had that fight?
Mm-hmm. Opening up the show.
Having him fight Roman Reigns in that moment did a lot for Bronson Reed as a single superstar and as somebody that was in there by himself without help. Guys, before we continue, as I said, I'm going with the Vision. Mia, you said you're going with the Usos?
I am going with the Usos, yes.
Okay, let's tune in to the... Oh, no, this is just Michael Cole talking about how he got absolutely manhandled.
Because why are all the commentators losing their lives at this... for Michael Cole?
Between CBS News and WWE, I've been a broadcaster at the highest level for 37 years.
What happened to Michael Cole? Is he okay?
Never in my wildest imagination did I think I would become a regular part of ESPN. As for the WWE becoming an integral part...
Okay, no, I thought he was making like a... I thought he was like retiring or something. I'm going with the Vision, though. And, like I said, I think the deciding factor of the match is going to be Bronson Reed.
You think Bronson Reed?
Yeah.
I think it would be good if...
That's at least what makes me want to go Vision over the Usos.
And mine would be Bron Breakker. But I am starting to really love Bronson Reed's character. I'm glad they got to redeem him after failing the Mr. Nice Guy character. But it would be really good for them if they beat the Usos, beat the greatest tag team of all time. It would just show after how the dominant Hardy Boys. They are as a faction. So I'm going to go with the Usos just because... Sorry, guys, my husband's on the TV. I'm going to go with the Usos because greatest tag team of all time.
Finally, let's get into the match I've been waiting to talk about. Stephanie Vaquer versus Io Sky for the currently vacated Women's World Championship. There is no holder. Nobody's defending.
Congratulations, Naomi.
Nobody is reigning. Congratulations to Naomi and Jimmy Uso on their baby. you know, thoughts and prayers, well wishes for them. Stephanie freaking Vaquer.
She's everything.
Guys, WWE, I've been telling you this for months about Roxanne Perez, and I'm going to tell you the same thing as I have about Roxanne Perez when it comes to Roxanne Perez, when it comes to these little title shots that you're giving her, when it comes to Stephanie Vaquer. She's not Lyra Valkyria. She's not Roxanne Perez. Put the belt on Stephanie Vaquer. Don't be afraid to make a megastar, because we're not talking about a superstar here. We're not talking about a star. We are talking about a mega star if you put the belt on Stephanie Vaquer. And I'm not even saying that she has to hold it for 365 days. I'm saying you put her in that spot. You put that belt on her, even if it's for 2-3 months. Guess what? Adding that belt to her resume, you are going to instantly change her from NXT call-up to bona fide world championship contender for the rest of her career, arguably. Don't be hating on Joe Tessitore.
Guys.
But this one's, oh man, I love Io so much, and I know I get it. They want to give the belt to Io, have her have a dream match with Asuka. I get it. But do not use the same formula you've been using where it's like, oh, let's put this NXT call-up who is going to be a superstar later in the future. Let's put her in a title match and make y'all think she's going to win and then not give it to her. Don't do it. Don't do it. There's no need. You don't have to. You don't got to convince anybody that Stephanie Vaquer is there because she's supposed to be there. We know for a fact Stephanie Vaquer is there because she's supposed to be there.
She's so goated.
There is no doubt in my mind. And I waited to talk about her aura for the most part. It slipped earlier. But the aura of this woman coming
That's
from
a woman.
Not even coming from NXT to the main roster in NXT when she got to NXT, the absolute aura.
Darren's blushing, guys.
Without having to say a single word on the microphone, this athlete has Jade Cargill level aura, Rhea Ripley level aura, Becky Lynch level aura, and that doesn't just happen from a superstar coming up from NXT. This is a bona fide superstar waiting to happen. This is a megastar waiting to happen. Put the belt on Stephanie Vaquer. Don't think twice about it. Don't look back. You will get, trust me, you'll get another opportunity to have the dream match between Io Sky and Asuka, and it doesn't even need to have a title on the line or involved in any single way. They're going to put on a barn burner regardless if there's a title on the line. They don't need it. Give the belt to Stephanie Vaquer and watch what happens.
Oh, baby John Cena.
The prototype.
Darren's so silly, guys. I love my brother. I love Stephanie so much. At first, I was very questionable about her. Like, I didn't know if she was going to be my type of wrestler that I was going to love, because y'all know me, I've said it before, I love the characters like Liv, I love the mean girls, like, those are my characters. But Stephanie, oh bro, she has so much aura. Like, I literally shiver when she comes out. Like, I would be so scared of her if I was a wrestler. Like, my debut match and Stephanie walked out, like, those red lights and the smoke, I'd be terrified. Like Darren said, I get that everybody wants Asuka versus Io. And
we get it, trust me.
I feel like it's going to happen. I feel like they're going to give it to Io, but like, I think we've said it so many times before. Give the title to somebody new, especially when it comes to the women's division. Stephanie has proven time and time again that she needs that title. Like, I feel like, for me, the route that Lyra Valkyria went on, like, no offense to Lyra, I think Stephanie should should have been on that path. I think she should have been getting the Women's Intercontinental Championship. Like, give Stephanie the title tonight, please, Triple H. If you can hear me, she would look so good with it. So good.
Please don't disappoint me. Everybody knows how much I love Io. I have said it a countless number of times. Io Sky is the best wrestler on the roster. Male or female, she is one of the best wrestlers in the world when it comes to in-ring performance. But I don't need to sit through another Io Sky promo. I don't need to sit through another Io Sky promo, especially where she's being disrespected because she cannot cut a promo. I love Io, but the fact that she can't cut a good promo makes her so susceptible to being disrespected. Look what happened when she was the champion and Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair were involved in the triple threat with her.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of disrespect that was going on in that buildup to that match was insane. I don't want to see it happen. I don't want to see a repeat. It's a new era. The WWE just moved to ESPN. It's a new chapter. Who better to carry the mantle for the women's division going into the ESPN future for the WWE than Stephanie Vaquer?
Exactly.
I can't stress it enough, and I can't say any more about how I feel about this woman as a superstar going forward. If they don't do it, and if they wait too long, and that's the thing, is it's not even like it's a do it now or never type of thing.
Oh yeah, definitely not.
But if you do it now, nobody is going to be mad. Nobody's going to be surprised. Nobody's going to be disappointed. I think it's going to be all money. It's going to be maybe even expected. I don't know. I haven't really seen what the gossip or what the talk or what the whispers are around this match for who people think that is going to win, who people don't think is going to win, who they think should win. But if you're not saying Stephanie Vaquer should win this title match
crazy.
Tonight, you're crazy. And I will question your professional wrestling opinion for the rest of my days if you don't think Stephanie Vaquer should win this match. I'm going Stephanie Vaquer without a single hesitation. Love Io Sky. Love everything she does. Love everything she is. But, and I'm not even saying that Stephanie Vaquer can cut a better promo than Io, but she can cut a better promo than Io.
Yeah.
You know, and again, her aura is unmatched. I don't even think she needs to say a word.
Yeah, like I've said about wrestlers like Cody Rhodes, Jade Cargill, she's so aesthetically pleasing. And imagine if they give her the title. Like, how much better she's going to look. Like, please, Triple H, I'm going Stephanie. My heart says Stephanie. Please give it to her.
I'm going Stephanie as well. And like I said, without hesitation, do it, do it, do it. Don't be scared to make a superstar. Let me edit that phrase, because when I say it about Roxanne, I do say superstar. Don't be scared to make a megastar.
Mm-hmm.
You put the belt on Stephanie Vaquer tonight, you're making an absolute bona fide megastar. Don't exactly. Be scared. Do it. The next matchup that we're going to talk about, we have two matchups to talk about. Surprisingly, not the main event of WrestlePalooza Live from Indiana. Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship. A little disrespectful to Drew McIntyre. I'm not going to lie.
Drew's going to be so mad.
People act like this isn't a big match. Did you watch the buildup? Did you get to see it for the most part?
No.
How was it?
I have football games on Friday.
That's
but
true.
I have been able to watch like little bits and pieces. I know it started with Drew attacking Cody after Cody won the title back. I think it was either the SmackDown after or the SmackDown after that. He attacked Cody during Cody's match or he was just like cutting a promo. But he attacked him and he kind of like held the belt over him, like showing that he was coming after him. And then Cody went away for a bit. You know, congratulations to Cody and Brandy on their new daughter. He was away for a bit. He came back and attacked Drew. And I think that's where, like, it all set off. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to see the full build-up. But from what I've seen... Sorry, my nose got stuffed. From what I've seen, it was a pretty good build-up. I'm so excited for this match. Like, this was one of the matches I was going to say was my favorite, but I didn't get to say it, guys.
I'm going Cody, and let's just get that out of the way right away. Guy. Yeah, Cody's my guy. I love Drew McIntyre more than the next person, or just as much as the next person, but I'm going Cody without a doubt.
And see, I was going to go Cody too, but since we want to disagree, I'm going to go Drew McIntyre. Just because, you know, I love Drew McIntyre.
Is that where you really want to go?
I do want to go Drew McIntyre, really? Actually. I would love to see Drew McIntyre with the title. I know I said some mean things about him when he beat Seth, but, you know, that's what happens when you beat my favorite wrestler. But my heart wants Cody to win, but I'm going to be smart about this. I want to sound smart, so I'm going to go Drew McIntyre with beating Cody Rhodes.
Okay, the reason I wanted to get the picks out of the way kind of quick on this segment is because I do want to talk a little bit about what's going on with Cody Rhodes' championship reign. Why is it not more pinnacle of the WWE? Why are the stories not more... Why is Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins and CM Punk and AJ Lee main eventing a premium live event over Cody Rhodes? That says so much about the reign that Cody Rhodes is having. WWE, listen to me very carefully.
Ooh, I don't serious.
I don't know what your schedule looks like when it comes to premium live events. I don't know if you're going internationally or not anymore. Do you know?
No, I do not.
Okay. You may have missed the boat when it comes to this, but the way to have done Cody Rhodes' title reign, was and was always going to be playing into the American Nightmare gimmick. You had so many premium live events. Out of the country, internationally. You went to the UK. You went to France. You went to Australia. You went to Germany. You went to Canada. You went to Saudi Arabia. You literally touched so many different countries. If, I was going to say if you were smart, but if you were smart and if you wanted to do Cody Rhodes' championship run and reign in the only way that would have made Cody Rhodes absolutely popular in the United States of America would have been to lean into the American Nightmare gimmick and have this man take the United States flag, not literally, not coming out like Logan Paul with the actual American flag, but taking the American Nightmare gimmick to every single country in every PLE and have him face the hometown guy for every premium live event that you had in Austria, in Australia, in the UK, in Germany, well, that's Austria, in Canada, in Saudi Arabia. You should have put him in every match
possible
and built it up like, I'm American, I'm from America, we're going to your home turf, and I'm going carrying this WWE championship for this American company to your doorstep, to your hometown, to your turf, and I'm going to fight you in your home because I don't need to do it from the comfort of my home. Mm-hmm. Guess what we do as Americans? we go to your place and we go win over there, you know? So
everyone a round of applause for Darren's promo cut right now.
That is how you should have built Cody Rhodes, even if it only lasted 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
That is what you should have done with Cody Rhodes.
They could have done it with so many people. You missed the boat. Sami Zayn in Canada. What's his name? Gunther
in Germany. Drew McIntyre in freaking Scotland.
Oh, guys, he's getting mad.
You know, like there is so bro. Take your pick of whoever you wanted for Saudi or the Saudi Arabia pay-per-views. You know the unfortunate part about it is you missed the boat. You missed it.
I think it's too late.
It's too late. They're not going international like that anymore.
I think.
Look at WrestlePalooza. It's in Indiana.
Well, WrestlePalooza was out of nowhere.
True.
WrestlePalooza was crazy. You talking about this now gave me a little idea for a podcast episode in the future. What if it kind of goes with the drafting episode. Whenever we pick our champions, we can do our way of how we would book their title reign. How we would, and we all know how Darren would book Cody Rhodes' title reign, guys.
If you heard this podcast, then yeah, you know.
You heard his rage through the screen. It's... Oh, guys, I want Pat to come back so bad.
No, I mean, that's the unfortunate thing, in my opinion, is the year that you had all of those international PLEs, that's when you should have been booking Cody Rhodes. And I've been saying it for over a year. So if you didn't listen to us and you didn't hear us talking about it, you missed out, because that would have been one way to make Cody Rhodes' championship run absolutely iconic. Absolutely iconic. I don't know what to tell you, WWE. I'm sorry that you spent 365 of those days on Roman Reigns, you know? Should have pulled the trigger earlier. No, but yeah, I'm going Cody. Let's keep the train moving. Let's keep the ball rolling, and let's see what we could do with Cody Rhodes in his championship reign. At this point, it doesn't seem too crazy to think that Cody Rhodes would lose the championship at any PLE. It doesn't seem that he's this powerful champion that, like, you know, you can't foresee him losing the championship. I do think at any point he could lose it. Maybe tonight he does. And maybe, as we talked about with Stephanie Vaquer, the opening of a new chapter for the WWE going live on ESPN, on the ESPN app, maybe they do change the ball carrier and they give it to somebody else and they let somebody else take the ball and run with it. But that's disappointing to me, because that would have been the way to do it. And if they never get that chance again, I'll be disappointed that they missed that chance, because like I said, I've been saying it for over a year. That would have been how you book Cody Rhodes as the perfect champion after Roman Reigns.
Just don't turn Cody heel, guys.
Please don't turn Cody heel. If anything, just retire him before before you even think about doing that. The final match that we're going to talk about, the expected and projected main event for WWE WrestlePalooza. Sorry, I thought I had to sneeze. I almost did. The expected main event, CM Punk and the returning AJ Lee. That means that this is about to start. It actually already started, but that's okay. The returning AJ Lee and CM Punk taking on the main two members of the Vision, Becky Lynch and Seth freaking Rollins. I think everybody in the universe knows where you're going with this one.
I wonder, guys.
So
I don't know where I'm going with this
one. So let's talk about it first before we get to that inevitable result that we know Mia is going to go the direction that we know she is going to go. What amazing work Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch have done together in the build-up to this match. At first, I didn't really care for it. It seemed a little like kind of forced. But giving them the polar opposite to them, mm-hmm. giving them the perfect, and when I say perfect, I mean absolutely perfect opponents in this match. Giving them CM Punk and AJ Lee has brought out the absolute best in Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, and specifically Becky Lynch. I think Becky Lynch is doing amazing, amazing work right now.
I think she's carrying it. She's definitely carrying her and Seth's side.
I agree. I think Becky Lynch. I was watching the build up for this match right here right before we got onto the podcast, and I can't express enough how great Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch have looked in the build up to this match. The promos they're cutting, the look, the style, the aura. The way, I hate to overuse the word aura, but the way that they are presented together, the matching outfits, mm-hmm. the way that they ride for each other, it's just everything about it is perfect. And on the other hand, same thing for CM Punk and AJ Lee, minus I think a little bit of the aura. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't look big time like the way Seth and Becky look. But then again, Seth and Becky are in the prime of their careers.
Yeah.
CM Punk and AJ Lee, you know, the prime of their careers were 10 years ago. What if you want to say mm-hmm. that about CM Punk?
You're going to get people mad with saying that.
But nonetheless, AJ Lee and CM Punk were the absolute perfect foil for Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. Where this match goes tonight, which direction it goes, I think we kind of all know. I think we kind of all know who's going to win this match. But the build-up, I think, has done everything.
I'm going to be so sad when this is over.
I don't even think the match has to go more than 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It could be a forgettable match altogether.
Yeah.
And I think the build-up was absolutely perfect for this match. It's been a long time since I've seen a build-up as good as this one.
If I go against Becky and Seth, would that be counted as breaking my streak with Seth?
I think you'd be breaking it with both of them.
Oh, my Lanta.
Let me ask you a question, though. Let me make it a little bit easier for you. For the idea of possibly breaking your streak with both of them. Here's a question.
Okay.
After WrestlePalooza in Indianapolis, does this end here?
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to end. I've been seeing a lot of people saying that this is going to, you know, kind of restart the singles between Seth and CM Punk. Eventually leading to CM Punk taking the belt off of Seth at maybe WrestleMania. Or what's before WrestleMania? The Royal Rumble?
The Rumble.
And then, you know, people are saying...
SummerSlam already passed, sorry.
AJ Lee versus Becky for the IC title. If anybody takes it off of Becky, who's it going to be? You know, a possibility being AJ Lee. Because I don't think she's just going to come back for this feud alone.
That's what I was wondering.
And then I think she's going to... She's gonna, what's the word? Treasure it? Cherish it.
Yeah.
Cherish it as she has the chance.
Most likely she's back for a more purposeful reason than probably Nikki Bella, right?
Yeah. Nikki Bella versus AJ. Guys, make it right. Triple H. Let me and Darren book WWE for a month, please.
In the sense that I think Nikki was only back for kind of spotted appearances. Is AJ Lee back to actually be...
I think so.
...a mainstay in the women's division?
I think so. In 2025? Even if it's just for a little bit. Even if it's just for the rest of the year, I think she's going to do great with it. She's going to... I think, like she said, she thought she retired because she thought that she can do, that she already did all she could do in WWE. And now that she's back, there's so many more, there's so much more opportunities for the women. There's
the tag titles.
The tag titles, the IC title, the USA, like the US title, all that stuff wasn't there when AJ Lee was still here. When AJ Lee still was wrestling full time, there was no Women's Royal Rumble. There was no tag team titles. So I think she has more things that she can do now.
And they signed her to a deal, too.
So, see, she's not going to go away.
So, ideally, in a perfect world, or in, at least in my perfect world, if I was booking WWE, if I was the head of creative, this match is going to go so well that I hope there's another mixed tag team match.
Me too.
Even if it's at the next PLE.
Watch it be for both belts.
I would not hate to see this build up drawn out for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 4 months, maybe six. September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. We're 8 months, 7 months away from WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Love WrestleMania.
Are we...
Wait, is WrestleMania going to be in Saudi this year or next year?
Next year. This year, it might be in Vegas, I think. If I'm not... Oh, was it last year that it was in Vegas?
But I think they're going Vegas twice.
Are they?
Yeah, I think they're going Vegas this year again.
Okay.
The heck,
I want to see this match... I want to see this feud be stretched out as long as it possibly can.
Me too.
I think there's a lot to do here. I think another mixed gender tag team match could possibly be in the works.
Mm-hmm.
I think the singles match between Becky and AJ is a moneymaker. I think interference from AJ Lee, Becky Lynch, in a singles match between CM Punk and Seth Rollins is also possible.
Yeah, they can easily use AJ Lee in the position Becky was, where Becky came in and she low-blowed CM Punk, causing Seth to win. She can easily do that with Seth.
The build-up in this for this match was so good. Easily the best build-up on this entire match card.
Easily. The best story right now.
Best story right now in WWE, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe all of wrestling. Don't end it here. Really is all I'm going to say. If you brought AJ Lee back, use her for the next 7 months, and maybe that's what they did. Is maybe they brought her back for 7 months and a day, and it's going to be until WrestleMania and the day after CM Punk takes that belt off of Seth Rollins, and she's there to celebrate on Monday Night Raw with CM Punk the following day. Maybe that becomes her official retirement. That Monday leading up following WrestleMania. It's time. Picks. Who do you have? Who do you want to win? What do you think's gonna happen?
Guys, I'm think I'm about to ruin my reputation right now, guys.
Uh-oh.
Oh my gosh. I think it's time, guys.
Oh.
I think it's time I gotta let go of my two streaks with my two goats that I will glaze forever. And and go with Seth and Becky, because I am never rooting against Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. Y'all are crazy.
You got me there. I genuinely thought you were going to take CM Punk.
Y'all are crazy.
AJ Lee. That was a good one.
Never.
Shout out to you. That was a good one. I 100% thought you were going the opposite direction.
And never.
And I will say this. I have absolutely enjoyed Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. I think there's no titles on the line here. I think there's no real big loss that Seth and Becky can take. And I think them being kind of the heels, the cowardly heels at that, that they're portraying at the moment, I think it's going to be real easy for CM Punk and AJ Lee to come away with this victory. And I think that's where the WWE is going to go. I think they're going in that direction. And I think I'm going with CM Punk and AJ Lee only because AJ Lee, guys, let me explain something to you real quick. AJ Lee was my absolute darling when she first came out onto the scene. I was head over. Okay, so picture this. She came out in 2011. So I was...
I was only 1 year old.
I was about 13 years old. Yeah, I was about 12, 13 years old. And I was... Wow, I just aged myself on the podcast. That's okay. A 13-year-old me was absolutely head over heels in love with AJ Lee. Deeper than Sasha, deeper than Lyra.
And that's why I am.
Deeper
with
than
Seth
Alexa
Rollins.
Bliss, deeper than Tiffany Stratton. I was absolute. This is where my love for crazy chicks came into play right here. AJ Lee was the original crazy chick. She's the OG crazy chick. She's the, you know, Puerto Rican from New Jersey. Sometimes she shanks a chick, you know. But AJ Lee, the skip, the faces that she makes, everything about AJ Lee. Her gear was dope. Her entrance was fire. Her promos were sick. Everything about AJ Lee was absolutely perfect. And then at the same time, she wasn't just this model, kind of clumsy, you know what I mean? Tall, skinny chick that was kind of what everybody else was in the WWE as far as divas were concerned around that time. She was a mold breaker. She is the original anti-diva, and she did it within the realm of... Bro, she held that Divas Championship with pride, and she still maintained, you know, being an anti-diva, and she did it, I think, arguably better than Paige, better than, you know, Sasha, better than, you know, name whoever else you want to throw in that anti-diva, you know, category, AJ Lee. Granted, she does look a little older.
I think she looks beautiful.
She's great. She's amazing. She's perfect. And CM Punk, like I said, greatest of all time. You know, best in the world. CM Punk, AJ Lee versus Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. I'm going CM Punk and I'm going AJ Lee. And
obviously, guys, I just pulled off the best heel work of my career, guys. I'm so proud of myself. I was going to pull out the tears and everything.
That would have been impressive. I would have stood up and applauded for you had you have done that.
I've actually been planning that since the Usos, what's it called? Since the Usos match, I've been thinking about it. But obviously, Seth Rollins and Becky, you know, the way you feel about AJ Lee was how I felt when I saw Colby on my TV for the first time. I was like, that's my husband.
Shout out to Colby.
I remember, what's the game called? The wrestling game? 2K?
2K.
I think it was before or after WrestleMania in Dallas. I had saw the stupid character on the screen and I was like, that's my husband. But Seth Rollins, my favorite wrestler of all time. You can put him against anybody, and I will, not to be dramatic, guys, but I go to war for Seth Rollins. That's my boy. Nothing can ever turn me against him. Nothing can turn me against Becky. I don't care what comments they make, what they say that makes y'all mad. These are my people since day one. So Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins, all the way. They're going
to
win.
And guys, that brings to a close the Wrestlepalooza from Indianapolis episode of the Mia Made It series. Live from the studio here with Mia Made It. I am DIG, the D to the 3 and D Signs and Sports Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another one. Thank you for being here with us on this one again. And we will catch you on the next one.
The realest underground entertainment, T T-R-U-E. Hashtag that. Hashtag that. Hashtag that. True. The realest underground entertainment. Your source for local music. Your source for local marketing, hype, branding, exclusive experience. What do you need? What do you got? How can we help you? How can you help us? How can we help you? T-R-U-E, the realest underground entertainment, Rylo, Tone G, Merculation, D-I-G, J-B, Chach with the heat. Shout out to Villain Vision Music, A2J, Villain Vision Music, A2J, Villain Vision Music, A2J. Check out the realest underground entertainment at True Records on YouTube, at the realest underground entertainment on Facebook, and at Day One Vibes, the home of the realest underground entertainment. Get at your boys.